This program was first broadcast on Canterbury's community access radio station Plains FM 96.9 and was made with the assistance of New Zealand On Air.
Desperado, why don't you come to your senses? You've been out riding fences for so long now. Oh, you're a hard one, but I know that you got your reasons. These things that are pleasing you can hurt you somehow. Don't you draw the queen of diamonds, boy? She'll be.
Hi, and welcome to the Alcoholics Anonymous radio show here on Plains FM 96.9. My name is Kerry and I'm an alcoholic. The purpose of this show is to increase public awareness of Alcoholics Anonymous as an effective means of recovery from the disease of alcoholism. Our show has two parts. First, we'll talk a bit about alcoholism, what it is and what AA can do to help. And then we'll interview a recovering alcoholic who is an active member of AA. I'm now going to ask our guest to read the AA preamble, which is read at the start of every AA meeting.
Thanks, Kerry. My name's Raylene. I'm an alcoholic. The AA preamble. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organisation or institution, does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety.
So what is alcoholism? Alcoholism is a disease, not a disgrace. There's no shame in having an illness or a disease. An unusual feature of this disease is that it will do whatever it can to convince you that you do not have it. However, once it has a hold of you, the progression of symptoms is like the classic disease model and the victim is as helpless as a sufferer of cancer. If you are an alcoholic, you are at the beginning of a long road that usually ends in one of three places: prisons, institutions, or death. If you think this sounds dramatic, we can assure you that our collective experience has shown this to be true. The challenge is to convince the alcoholic to admit that they need help and become willing to seek it. Denial is a major symptom of alcoholism. The alcoholic is often the last one to recognize it and admit that they have it. Our definition of alcoholism is that it is an allergy of the body coupled with an obsession of the mind. The allergy is the physical aspect of the disease. After having the first drink, the phenomenon of craving develops and we lose control over when we will stop drinking. The old saying is one is too many and a thousand is never enough. And yet, because of the obsession of the mind, the mental aspect of the disease, the alcoholic is compelled to keep picking up the first drink. This makes us powerless. We often hear from sober alcoholics that many doubted whether life could be fun without alcohol. Fortunately, those same people report that their lives have improved dramatically since they became sober. The 12-step program of recovery, which is discussed at meetings and which is outlined in the Alcoholics Anonymous Big Book, is how we get sober and maintain our sobriety one day at a time. This program has a proven track record of helping otherwise hopeless alcoholics to achieve long-term sobriety and recovery. It has taught us how to enjoy life sober. Okay, for anyone who has just joined us, you're listening to the Alcoholics Anonymous radio show here on Plains FM 96.9. We're just about to interview an AA member who is going to share their experience with alcoholism. But before we get started, we are doing something different this week. We are actually doing an old radio show from 1995, and we're interviewing Raylene. First we're going to listen to Raylene when she was in her first year, and then we're going to interview Raylene 23 years later.
Oh, well, my name's Raylene. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Raylene.
You're just listening to Chapter 3. My drinking was totally out of control. I couldn't stop. I've come to realise that. I thought I could. I had periods when I didn't drink for like a year, but I always started again, and I've come to realise that was because I couldn't stop. And when I did drink, it was totally messy, you know. It was always to the excess, it was always to oblivion, and it wasn't very nice. So on coming into Alcoholics Anonymous, I've learnt so much about the disease of alcoholism and how it really affects you, and that I truly am an alcoholic. My drinking wasn't normal. You know, I didn't want to drink just one drink. If it was drinking like that, then I wouldn't even start. You know, I wanted to go places where it was fast and full on, and just excessive. And that's what my whole life's been like, really. It's either all or nothing. But now I'm learning to balance my life and just be normal. I don't have to have all the highs. I don't have to have the excitement. You know, I like just to be even. My life isn't always like that because I can go off track. But, you know, by coming to Alcoholics Anonymous, I learn more about how normal people live, people that, you know, do have balance in their life. And I find it really hard at times, you know, to get that balance. But, you know, I do have moments of peace and serenity, and that's what I'm really striving for, because my life is just chaos. And it still can be if I'm rushing around and not really noticing what I'm doing and how much I'm doing, because I tend to do too much, you know, in a day. I can just fill it up. And that, you know, I realise that a lot of that is running away from myself, and because I don't want to know what I'm about. And by coming to Alcoholics Anonymous, I'm learning, and some of it I don't like. But by learning more about me, I'm accepting myself more as I am, and that's what drinking did for me. Drinking took me away from myself, you know. I didn't like myself, and drinking made me into someone that was more acceptable, because I felt like I could do anything and be anyone. And I thought people liked me when I was drinking, but you know, really, when I think about it, how anyone could stand to be around me drinking is amazing, you know, because I'd started to get quite rude when I was drinking, quite nasty with my words, really selfish and self-obsessed. And that is the whole disease of alcoholism, is that self-centeredness. The whole world had to revolve around me, and I'm learning now by coming to AA to think more about other people and do things for other people without any payback. Because, you know, when I did things for people, it was like it was to get something back or to make me feel good, you know, real people-pleasing stuff. You know, if I did something good for someone, then they'd like me. And I really wanted everyone to like me. And I know that that's not reality. You know, I am not going to like everyone, and everyone's not going to like me. And that's okay. You know, I struggle with it at times, but, you know, I just get back to that thinking that, you know, life is how it's meant to be for me in that moment, and I've got to accept it, you know. And there's the good times and there's the bad times, and the longer I'm sober, the good times become more, you know, like, but they're simple things. They're just like enjoying a beautiful day, or looking at nature, or enjoying my surroundings, and enjoying being with people that I'm with, you know, because I always wanted to be with other people. I wanted to be where I wasn't. I always wanted to be somewhere better, or with people that were more exciting. I never enjoyed where I was or who I was with, and that was like always looking for that something to fill me up, you know, that something more exciting that would make me feel better. And that's what alcohol did, you know. It just made me feel much better, and you know, my problems went away. I didn't have any problems. But on getting sober, I realised that, you know, life has its problems, and you've got to face these problems and work your way through them. And yeah, I've got hope today, you know. I'm gaining strength, and that's by coming to meetings and being around other alcoholics and sharing what it's like for me, you know. When I have bad days, I can share about it, and these people still accept me, you know. I'm still okay, and I can do that with other people too. I can see them on their bad days and see them on their good days and still think, you know, that they're okay. You know, maybe one day they're not so nice to me, but, you know, I don't get resentful all the time. You know, I have days when I do, but, you know, I've got to think that I'm like that too. I'm not perfect. And that's another thing with alcoholism, you know, the perfectionism. Everything's just got to be so perfect, and life isn't like that, and that's what I'm coming to learn. So, but coming to Alcoholics Anonymous, I have got a lot of hope, and I intend to keep coming back. So thanks for asking me to share, Kate.
So we just listened to Raylene at 2 years sober in 1997, and now we're listening to Raylene, 1 year sober in 1996.
Raylene, I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Raylene.
Well, I'm just over a year sober, so a lot of this is still new to me. I haven't put a lot of my drinking into words yet, because I didn't actually think I had a problem. How I got to AA was I was a member of Al-Anon because I thought my problems were from the other people drinking around me. And like Chris just shared, the depression was just so great. I could not really function in life anymore, and I ended up going to a treatment centre. And it was there that I learnt that really the problem was with me and that I had this disease of alcoholism. So that was quite a great relief, actually, to find out what was actually wrong with me. And from there on in the last year, I've been able to carry on in this fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous, and it's been really fantastic. It's changed my life around, and now I'm not blaming everyone else. I can deal with me. It's not easy sometimes, but I'm trying to change myself and live a different life. And my life is much better just after 1 year. I suppose that the first time I can remember getting drunk was I was 15, and it was a school party, and I remember my friend got there later. She'd had to work, and by the time she got there, all my friends were saying, you know, will you please take her home? You know, this is at 15, and I remember not being very well the next day and, you know, doing all those horrible things. And you know, but that's just how my life carried on. I wasn't a drinker, as in I could have years without not drinking. You know, I could do that. I could just have one drink too. You know, I used to think, oh, this, you know, alcoholism's about people that just drink and drink and drink. But like for me, I could do that because when I drank, I wanted to drink to obliterate myself. And so I could have one drink and think, this isn't going to get me where I want to go. These people aren't drinking enough. You know, this isn't going to turn into a situation where I can just keep drinking. So I could do that. And but when I did drink the way I liked, it was to excess. Like everything in my life was, everything was to excess. People, places, things, you know. I had to have more than anyone else. And today I know that that's not a good way to live, especially with drinking, because I had a situation before I came to Alcoholics Anonymous where I drank one night and I just about killed myself in one binge of drinking. You know, it was just total devastation, actually. And I think after that I must have known something was wrong, because after that drinking didn't really do for me what I wanted. I don't know if I was too scared to drink a lot because I knew I couldn't stop, or it was just, it had got to the point where alcohol didn't work, and that's probably when everything came to a head for me, because I didn't have the alcohol to hide away in. That life was just there for me on life's terms, and I knew I had to do something to change it, and that's what I did. I came to Alcoholics Anonymous, and like I said before, it's changed my life, and I really like being here. Thanks for asking me to share.
Thanks. Good afternoon. You are at a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous here on air at Plains FM. Thanks for your company.
Well, Raylene, we just heard you at 1 year sober. How old were you at the time?
I was 34 and I turned 35 in treatment.
Wow, so young. And yes. That was in the year, 1 year sober was 1996, is that right?
Yes, that's right.
Wow. And how old are you now?
I'm 57.
In 2018?
Yes, I will be 58 in October.
Wow. Well, the first question, I think, is what would you, knowing what you know now, what would you say to your younger sober self at 1 year, knowing what you know now? What would you say to her?
Yeah, interesting question, Kerry. I'd say to her, listen, listen, listen. Mm-hmm. You know nothing. You need to learn a new way of living. And I would say, listen to your sponsor, listen to the AA members who are ahead of you. You know, stick with the winners, stick with the people that have stayed sober and that you always see at meetings. And I would also say, do not get into a relationship at 2 years sober. Even though they say 2 years, you can, but it's far too soon. It was for me anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did that happen?
Yes, that did happen.
Yes.
Yes.
So it's very easy to see things in hindsight. But the next question I want to ask you is, what were the high and low spots of 23 years of sobriety, going from year one to now, the high and low spots of sobriety?
Yeah, well, the first high would have been finding out I was an alcoholic, and after the initial shock, actually knowing that I could, there was a solution to how I felt and thought and drank, and that there were people there to help me, to love me back to health, and teach me a new way to live. And so I was on a real high in the beginning. I just loved it. I thought, oh, I'm with people that feel like me and think like me and drink like me. And then, you know, it does get harder sort of as you go along, because you realise how much work you've got to do. And, you know, you've got to do the steps, you've got to do all the things that are suggested, you've got to do service, you've got to learn to help others and not think about yourself.
It's rather like being in a state of grace and then you have to earn it.
Yes.
Something like that.
Definitely, definitely.
You mentioned in your, I remember in your when you were talking about when you're 2 years sober, you're talking about a lot about balance and you want to live like normal people live. Do you consider yourself living how normal people live now?
Yes, I do. Compared with how I did live as an you know, an active alcoholic, I definitely have got a more normal, balanced life. There's not the big highs and the big lows, you know, of the depression, you know, the depressant that alcohol was, it took me down.
So you're talking about the emotional ups and downs.
Yeah, emotional, yeah.
So you feel like you're more balanced out now.
Yes.
And that was another word that kept coming up in 2 years, was balance.
Yes.
Trying to get balance.
Yes.
Do you feel like you have balance today?
Yes, I do, more than I ever have. It's, yeah, it just slowly progresses, that you get more calm, more even. You know, you're not looking for the big highs and you don't want the big lows, so you try to keep your life on an even keel.
So right now you're 23 years sober. How has your spirituality developed over 23 years?
Yeah, well, in the beginning, I thought I was an AA angel.
Oh, I like that.
I thought, you know, but I thought I had to be perfect, you know, because God's mentioned and I had no concept of a God or a higher power. So I thought that this was about being perfect, you know, and, you know, getting rid of those character defects and the nasty side of my alcoholism. And but so I was, you know, on a bit of a pink cloud, as they call it. And then, you know, I came down to earth and realised I actually have to do these steps. I have to do all the things that are suggested, you know, and helping others was a big one, you know, taking me out of myself, because my alcoholism just is all about me. So learning to help others and just learning to do what everyone else had done before me. And, you know, my faith has grown. You know, when I first got there, I got hope. I heard other people sharing about how they were doing these amazing things and their lives had turned around. People that had gone way down lower than I had, you know, people really had done some tragic things, you know, taken other people's lives, that kind of thing, lost everything. Yeah. I hadn't done that, but in myself, inside, I was down at the bottom. And so then I got the hope, and then that gave me the kind of impetus to keep going and get wanting what they had. And then, you know, my sponsor used to say, faith the size of a mustard seed is all you need. You know, that's all I need, and I just have to do it a day at a time. And then it's growing and growing and growing. So, yeah, that's how it is today.
Tell me, what are the high spots in 23 years of sobriety? Can you think of what the high spots have been?
In life in general? Or
yes, overall.
In life in general, the high spots. There's been so many. I have had an amazing life. You know, I've had good jobs, you know, big jobs that I realised afterwards weren't the be-all and end-all. It's not about having the big job or having the money. It's about, you know, living my life sober. And some of those things can be dangerous for an alcoholic, even without drinking, having the big job, the ego around you, and your ego can take off. And yeah, I've amazing people, the people I've met. I have travelled all over the world, and
you travelled over the world sober?
Yeah, sober, on my own.
Wow.
A lot of time with my dad, who was drinking. That was difficult.
Fun.
That was fun. But we did Asia and went on a cruise and things like that. And I went to the Rugby World Cup in 2015 on my own.
Wow. Where was that?
That was in England.
Oh, you went
England
there.
And Wales.
Oh my gosh, what a freedom.
Yeah, a freedom. That's what I've got, a freedom. A freedom to be who I am, who Raylene is, and a freedom to do what, I say that, to do whatever I want. I only have to do one step at a time. Plan one bit, trust that the next bit will fall into place. Like one night, I had nowhere to stay in Cardiff. I was going to sleep in my car.
That's in Wales.
In Wales.
Ooh, rugby country.
Rugby. And this lady at the place where I was staying, it was a sports institute, she said to me, oh, be careful sleeping in your car because if you're drunk, you can still get booked for being in a car drunk. And I laughed. I laughed because I wasn't going to be drinking. But I mentioned it to one of the security guards at this place where I was staying. He said, oh, you come and stay with me. And I said to him, oh, are you married? He said, yes. I said, well, your wife mine? He said, no. And I went home to his house. His wife was a little bit dubious, but we became good friends at the end. She was adopted, I was adopted. And that night...
So you're both adopted, you had that connection.
We had that connection. And I got home from the rugby. They let me have a key to their house. They knew me not. And I got home and there was a glass of water, a glass of orange juice and a glass of Coke beside my bed, whatever I wanted. And also that night, I slept with a python in the room. Their daughter was
life
into
snake.
A snake. I didn't get much sleep. It was in a glass thing, but I did not get much sleep.
You wouldn't be expecting that in Wales, going to a rugby event, would you? Live snake in your room?
So they are the kind of things that have happened to me. People, not even in AA, but people. And there's always AA wherever you go.
Yeah.
You know, you need it when you're away, probably more than when you're at home, because you're away from your familiar things. Different scenarios happen, and it's... So that would be a high. I've done lots of travelling. I went to the first rugby game in Chicago that the All Blacks played, and went and met my friend in Canada she's been to New Zealand 16 times, and we met in AA, and I went and saw her in Toronto. I've just done amazing things. And then some of the lows would be going through the passing away of my parents.
Yeah.
Which I know.
But you did that sober?
I did that sober.
Wow.
I get emotional thinking about it.
That's all right. You're allowed to.
You know, because I was adopted and my dad brought my sister and I up and he was like the rock for us and he passed away in 2010. So that was a huge... And at that stage, I would have been 2010, 8, 12 years sober or something like that, 14.
Wow.
It was still so hard. And it was a thing that I dreaded the most in my life, but I did it. I was sad, I was grieving, I was down, but I carried on. I didn't drink. I just used my AA program and the people in AA to get me.
And there's a lot of us who can't imagine going through that when we first get sober, that we're going to be able to handle that, but we can.
Yeah.
And it's such a tribute to them.
Yeah,
to be present and sober.
Yeah. Giving back what they'd given to me, you know, giving me my life, looking after me and being there for them. You know, I held my dad when he died and it wasn't a good time. It wasn't a nice thing, but I held him. I was with him. I was with my mum when she died, holding her hand. It was, So that's a few of the lows, but, you know.
There's also a kind of a silver lining to that as well, that you were able to, they knew you were there sober.
Yes. Yeah, I was sober.
Has it all been worth it?
Yes, it's all been worth it. The highs and the lows. And you know, sobriety, it's work. You have to keep at it. And that's the one thing I'd say I've been thinking of lately. I have to do today, 23 years later, the same as I did at one day sober, or 1 year sober, or 2 years sober. Nothing changes. You don't get put on a pedestal. You don't get any, you know, higher job. You still wash the dishes. You still talk to the newcomers. You still have to do the same things over and over. Just stay sober and have a good life. Yeah.
Raylene, thank you so much for coming on the show and sharing with us today.
Thank you, Kerry. It's been a pleasure and an honour. And yeah, thank you for thinking of this.
Well, I don't think I've heard of someone who's 23 years sober with a recording of them at 1 year sober as well.
Yeah.
So that's, I think that's very interesting. For our listeners, if you've related to anything that you've heard or would like some more information about Alcoholics Anonymous, you can look us up on the web at www.aa.org.nz or call us on 0800 AA Works. There are 66 meetings a week in Canterbury, so it's likely there is one near you. Join us next week to hear from more AA members sharing their experiences. Our show airs every Monday at 6 p.m. on Plains FM and repeats on Wednesday at 12:30 p.m. You can find podcasts of all our past shows on the Plains FM website at plainsfm.org.nz. And I've also been told that you can download this from iTunes and get an automatic show every week. That brings us to the end of the show. Thank you for listening. And remember, if you want to drink, that's your business. But if you want to stop, we can help. You don't have to do it alone. We will now close the show with a serenity prayer all together, as we do in every AA meeting.
God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know
the difference. You've been listening to the Alcoholics Anonymous radio show on Plains FM 96.9.
Desperado, why don't you come to your senses? You've been out riding fences for so long.